Hello, this is Eddie.
Eddie, it's Michael from Premier. I have Tana Douglas for you. She's all yours.
Good morning, Tana.
Hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Great. Great to talk to you. I'm just reading part of the first part of the book, and I'm already crying. So I'm buying
from pain or joy.
Yeah, well, both, you know, I can relate some of the situations there, and yeah, it's great. There's a great quote that I, you know, in the beginning of the book, music saved you in a sense, I think. You run or go where you feel it's safe, and music, was that your safety net?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I had a pretty rough childhood. So, you know, I'd lock myself away and listen to my little transistor radio. And, you know, I mean, it's unlike life. You know, if you've got a bad song on the radio, it's done in 3 minutes and you can move on. You know, you can't do that in real life. So I decided that this was a good place to be.
Yeah, that's
the music industry.
Yeah, that's a great quote. Music is better than real life. You can't turn off real life. And that's a great quote already. I got to buy this book. Talking to Tana Douglas, known as the first female roadie. What made you want to become a roadie? Was it just by chance? Did you like just decide this is what I'm going to do?
No, you know, I needed money. You know, I needed to start supporting myself. And, you know, I tried being a hippie and that didn't go too well. It's like I'm too industrious for that. So and I'd always liked music and I'd been traveling, hitchhiking all over the countryside on my own anyway at the tender young age of 15. And so, you know, I decided that, you know, I was invited to a show and I'd never been to a real show like in a club before, you know, and the person who invited me introduced me to the tour manager and who I didn't know what that meant really, but he put me right next to the front of house sound console. So from that point on, I was just fascinated with what everyone was doing who wasn't on the stage, you know. So, I mean, I'm watching the sound guy, I'm watching his sidekick running backwards and forwards to the stage. I'm watching people passing up instruments. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. What is this? And it's like, you know, and the guy, I asked the guy in the break and I go, he's like, what do you think of the show? Oh, yeah, yeah, the show's good, but what are these guys? And he's going, oh, they're roadies, you know? And I'm like, roadies? That's good for me. I want to be one of those, you know? I had no idea girls didn't do the job, you know, and I didn't ask. It didn't occur to me to ask. So, you know, I just sort of weaseled my way in.
Yeah, being a roadie and myself being in a band, you know, I was a lead singer. I realized just how important you folks are. They are pretty much part of the band out there. You got to take care of the roadies, and they take care of you. They're the problem solvers from the guitar tech, the roadie, the lights, sound man. I think, yeah, they're the backbone to a band, especially at this day and age where, you know, you're not selling music. Now it's the performance where bands or even musicians are held more accountable. The roadies are a big part of that.
Yeah, you know, and we're sounding boards as well. You know, they'll talk to us about things that they won't talk to anyone else about, even other band members at times. You know what I mean? So, because they know it's not going to go anywhere. They know it's safe. And it's a different point of view perspective. So, you know, it's you build these relationships with these performers, and it's really quite special. You know, I mean, you're working your ass off to get there and to do that. But at the end of it, it's all worthwhile because you're putting on something that's really quite magic.
And, of course, the spoils of the business, you know, did you participate in the rock and roll debauchery? Any situations that you enjoyed and then not so much enjoyed later on?
Of course. I'm not going to lie at this point.
With anybody in particular?
No, we all just, you know, I mean, we all just partied together, you know what I mean? It's like, depends what tour you're on. I mean, you know, what happens is whoever the artist is, sets the level. They set the bar and pretty much everyone else follows that level, you know. So if the artist's clean and sober, then pretty much all the crew are well behaved and not, you know, not going crazy and that sort of stuff. If the artist is totally losing his mind and throwing things around and giving things away and saying, yay, let's stay up all night and it's all free, of course you're going to do it. You know, what are you, mad? So, you know, it just depends, you know, on who the artist is. But that's where it comes from. You know, there's rarely ever a tour where the crew corrupts the band. It's always the band that corrupts the crew because they've got more money they can afford to.
So you learned, obviously, you were saying you're watching and learning. It's good to learn on the job. Who do you credit the most for taking you under their wing? And then obviously, you had to expand on that. Got to come up with great ideas and help the industry even more. Who do you credit early on?
Well, early on was that very first club that I told you about, the guy's name, Australian tour manager called Wayne Swampy Jarvis. And he became not only a mentor to me, but a lifelong friend. You know, he's passed now 10 years, I guess it is. And he's just him and his family, everyone. I mean, I'm still in touch with his children to this day, you know. So he was just an incredibly important. And we toured with certain bands together as I grew up in the industry. You know, he was already, you know, well established in the industry. But there's been several people. There's people in really each country that I've lived in, and I've lived in a lot of different countries. But, you know, he would have been my main Australian mentor, I guess, if you want to say that. There's, you know, a person over here who, funny enough, his daughter I'm meeting up with this week, he's also passed, but Patrick Stansfield. He was a huge part of my life. You know, I mean, he would be my sounding board. You know, what do you think? Is this a good idea? What about trying this? You know, and, you know, and then there's people in the UK as well. So it's wherever you're living at the time, you get it. You get a niche of friends, and what it is you really kind of have to deserve to be in that niche, because we don't have a lot of personal time. So if you're sharing your personal time with someone, it means a lot, you know, so because the rest of the time you're just touring and working madly.
So in your career, did you believe you'd still be doing this at this point? I mean, are you still doing this type of work?
Well, I'm busy. I do some consultancy stuff. I do a lot of mentoring. I do a lot of speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually, no one's really toured it until this year. So, and this year I've been busy with the book. So will I go back to it? I don't know, maybe. It'd have to be a challenge. It'd have to be a challenge and something I hadn't done before.
So,
But right now I'm actually enjoying the whole book thing.
So back in the day, when were you pretty much the only female roadie, and how much women have come into this industry now?
Yeah, I was it. It was a little lonely out there for about 10 years. And, you know, now they say that, you know, I work closely with a lot of women's organizations in the industry, and I think we're averaging between 5 and 7%, which is still incredibly low. But there's some amazingly talented women out there, you know, like Pearl Jam's monitor engineer, you know, Kari Keys. Mm. She's amazing, and, you know, she's been with them. Eddie won't do anything without her. You know, so she's just an example of that. But there's women all over the world that hold these prestigious positions now. And it just makes you proud, really. You know, it really does.
It was a woman who got me into this industry. So, yeah, I'm always pushing my daughters to strive no matter what type of work it is. I said, one of my daughters wants to be an airline pilot. She says, yes, absolutely, go do it, you know?
And, brilliant.
You know, and then at the same token, they see what I've been doing now for all my life, you know, just radio DJ, I've done the band thing, you know, failed at that, but it was fun. one band in particular unites us, and you got to work for these guys, AC/DC. When I first heard them when I was like 7 years old, that awoken my rock and roll loins, you could say. And they seemed like to be the universal band that no matter where they go, you hear that simple thump in a guitar. They almost sound all the same sometimes, but it's different. Still different songs, but my youngest daughter, 15 and a half years old now, she's a huge fan of them also, and obviously they affected you and helped with your career.
Absolutely, absolutely. They started it all. I blame them completely. No, I actually indebted to them. They're fabulous. And you know, AC/DC is like the heartbeat of the working class, you know, so it's worldwide.
Gotta go.
All right, Tana Douglas, thank you for talking to us. The book's called Loud, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie.
Yep, thank you.